Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Oh my, baseball is here, the young infancy stage of baseball, all newborn for the season. With us to talk about all the cool stuff in baseball is the Boston Red Sox Chief Technology Officer, Brian Shield. Brian, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Thanks, Damian. It's good to be with you.
Now here comes stupid old man Barr. What is a chief technology officer for the Red Sox? What do you do?
Yeah, so I spend a lot of my time, obviously, on everything that's fan-facing, obviously internal to the front office of the organization. You know, work closely with baseball operations on a lot of the technology that we deploy. And then operationally, we support, you know, 7 ballparks to make sure that, especially as technology becomes more pervasive, whether it's analytics and other forms, you know, we've got more than 50, you know, cameras and analytics taking place across all these ballparks. So, you know, keeping track of all that information, all the data, all the analytics that kind of go along with it, and developing applications to help support the business and our fans.
And Brian, just to confirm, those cameras aren't used to steal signs from the New York Yankees, right? I'm just kidding.
No, they're not. They're not.
This is why we can't have nice things.
I know. Brian, here's the interesting question I have, right? I mean, you've now got sports betting. The NFL just yesterday announced they're going to be allowing some of these, you know, kind of sports betting, you know, FanDuels, et cetera, to set up inside the stadium. How do you think that's going to change the fan experience if it ever comes to baseball?
Yeah, I think in time. I mean, you know, I think all these things, I mean, the good news about the relationship I think that clubs have with MLB is that, you know, this has been, we've had plenty of time to sort of, you know, discuss this sort of internally and think about sort of, you know, the ripple effects. I mean, there are some sports that are further along than baseball. And so I think we'll certainly learn from them, you know, and probably implement a little bit of a crawl, walk, run manner. But I think it's generally somewhat inevitable. I think it's just more a question of timing and degree at some level.
Everybody's getting ready for the betting, and it'll be a whole season looking at the games, and they're going to see, okay, do I want to bet this spread or bet that spread? And they're going to be probably using a lot of your data involved in trying to come up with the decision. Can you take us more on what sports betting has meant for baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the one thing, I mean, you know, as you all know, whether it's, you know, just going back to things like Moneyball, I mean, you know, analytics and deep, you know, levels of data have been a part of baseball for years, you know, probably since the inception, but certainly, you know, in certainly over the last 10 to 20 years, they've progressed in many respects so that we have much, much more granular data. I mean, MLB's obviously added a lot of new technology, you know, over the last 10 years through products like StatCast and other things. And it's been supplemented quite a bit with, you know, organizations like ours and many other clubs that add many of those camera analytics that analyze pitches and keep track of everything from, you know, at 1,000 frames a second in certain cases. So we know everything from all the mechanics of hitters and batters and, you know, a T equals zero where the ball leaves the bat, you know, the jump on the ball and the path to the ball. And, you know, there's a, you know, you watch like a, you know, obviously a Monday night game or a Sunday night game, you know, you really get a good appreciation or in your all-star games, like, you know, for all the different analytics that kind of exist. So I think all those will ultimately come into play. The good thing is that they continue to get refined and get much more accurate. So, you know, there will certainly be a treasure trove of data for people to kind of, you know, dip into to learn about these processes. But it's, you know, generally publicly available. At least most of that's available. Yeah. We obviously have our own proprietary data that wouldn't be part of that discussion.
So, Brian, I know, I mean, obviously, you know, we could talk about data you have on players, on coaches, on the game itself. But, I mean, we also obviously have a lot of focus on consumer data, you know, and what your audience, what your fans are doing. And, you know, from my perspective, you know, my question is, you know, what type of data are you keeping on your fans? What type of data do you find useful when trying to, you know, grow the Red Sox franchise and grow and build your brand?
Yeah, no, great question. So, yeah, you're right. We're not unique. I mean, all clubs are, their data content, like every organization has, you know, hockey sticked. And you know, understanding of fan behavior and the kind of data that we sort of collect as part of that has also done so. I mean, again, as I mentioned before, we have a very close relationship with MLB. So we have this, you know, obviously not just between both our websites and mobile apps, and because everything is effectively mobile now with 100% digital ticketing, you know, we know more about fan behavior, which is a good thing, right? So we keep track of everything from, obviously, everything there is to know about ticketing and primary markets and secondary markets and how people use their tickets and, you know, what time they get to games and what gates they go into and all host of things so that, you know, over time that we can hopefully create a better experience. As you guys know, I mean, you guys obviously attend a lot of sporting events, but, you know, your average fan, you know, you've got different, you know, we've got different, many different personas of fans and, you know, at different ends of it, you've got the family with a couple kids who probably go to one or two games a year. And, you know, coming to Fenway Park is like, you know, going to Disney World. And so, and it's probably uniquely, you know, probably similarly confusing in many ways. And so, you know, anything that we can do to simplify that experience where we can give them information about, hey, you know, use our app to kind of plan your parking. So you don't, you're not trying to do that on the fly. Cause as you guys know, Fenway is not a, you know, parking friendly world, so to speak, given being kind of an urban environment. And, or whether it's, you know, mobile food ordering or it's pre-ordering, depending upon kind of where you're sitting and, you know, seat upgrades and things about, you know, we work with MLB on things in the future about, you know, wayfinding and other things. So to me, it's all these fan amenities kind of, I hope, will kind of add up to really sort of making it a more seamless experience, you know, for fans on both kind of ends of the frequent fans and the season ticket holders to the occasional fan who's trying to navigate their journey, you know, once or twice a year.
Speaking from the good old geezer days when I used to go to Old Tiger Stadium, and if you wanted some special food, you would get the hot dog, and the person would say, yeah, mustard and ketchup's to your right. Maybe if you want some relish, okay, here it is in a packet. Now, everything has changed. In fact, Aramark just announced, and you guys are involved with their food preparations, so many items that are involved now that someone can go to the park and just enjoy themselves and pig out eating good food.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. I was at a game. I was at a hockey game last night, and I was kind of wishing for some of that. You know, I was walking around like hot dog, slice of pizza, and I'm kind of like, man, you know. And you know, if your appetite's a little broader than that, you know, it's. I think you'll be happy. You know, with the way I think, you know, Aramark and the Red Sox and other clubs are sort of providing much, many more services. You know, I remember one of the first away games I went to is when the Red Sox in '86 were in Anaheim at the playoffs, and I remember being like overwhelmed by the volume and, you know, variety of food that was available at the park. And I thought, oh my gosh, because you're right. I think back in the day, it was probably a hot dog and a pizza sitting under a light bulb or something, you know? And so it's come a long ways. And you know, we have tools that allow people to kind of, you know, query those things too. So they can hopefully find things that they like best to make it kind of a more, you know, more compelling experience.
Brian, baseball's dynamic. And in your role, you're at the heart of that dynamism. But what I mean by that is we had some rules changes in the offseason, you know, no shift, you know, the pitch count, you know, the size of the bases. I mean, the pitch count, Kenley Jansen had the third worst tempo between pitches last year. So talk to me about the interesting, novel data requests you're receiving in response to these rules changes.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is, I'll start with the positives, I guess. The good news is that, you know, spring training, you know, games are finishing 20 and 30 minutes faster than last year. You know, so I think there's reason for optimism. I mean, we learn a lot from our minor league systems, too, just to kind of get a better glimpse of, you know, what it'll be like when we kind of apply those things, you know, at the major league level. And, you know, and I think it's all very encouraging. I think it's going to be a really better experience for fans. I think it's going to, I mean, as we saw in a couple situations, you know, there's going to be a little kind of working through some kinks, I think, you know, like we saw in spring training in a couple incidences, you know, the, you know, I think on some level, it's, you know, it'll be some elements like, you know, like football sometimes when you're kind of trying to figure out like the boundaries and what's a catch, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Brian, you got to believe, right? Like teams like yourselves are going to be really monitoring like pitch counts, time between pitch counts, things of that nature now, because I'm sure it's going to impact, you know, the way the players play, right? I mean, you might have played, you know? And so I'm just curious, you know, from your perspective, are you going to be doing anything differently this year?
Yeah, I don't have, you know, tremendous insight on that particular question, but we always kind of measure that, you know, so that's right. Not really new to us. I think it's, to your point, though, it probably puts a finer point on it because, as you know, some pitchers, you know, they're most comfortable if they kind of, you know, kind of take their time and they're patient and things like that. You know, this is going to kind of force them a little bit out of their comfort zone. So I think, you know, for our organizations like ours, you know, all these variables kind of go into like who you draft, like how you, you know, how you train them up, like how you coach them over these different skills. And, you know, and the challenge with any professional athlete, even for any weekend warrior when it comes to golf or something, is that, you know, you can only tweak so many things at the same time, right? So it's, I think, you know, I think that we've had time to realize this was coming. So I think, you know, we saw a couple of years ago when we started introducing, when MLB introduced sort of like even players not leaving the batter's box. You know, I mean, you know, we've had a few celebrated players here in our own history who were who quite took their time between pitches, you know, if they were hitters and stuff and adjusting equipment and such. And I think that, frankly, has made it so much better because as a fan, you know, I think we want to see, you know, we want to see offense. We want to see excitement and we want the game to kind of move at a, you know, reasonable pace.
You know, Brian,
so, more of that.
What I was just going to say, I mean, we can't let you leave without asking you about your big offseason acquisition, Masataka Yoshida, right? We all saw the World Baseball Classic. We know who he is now. 5-year, $90 million. Looks like a steal now when people were saying it was risky. My question for you is, you know, the Red Sox have always been so active internationally, and specifically when it comes to Japanese prospects. What type of data are you guys, you know, kind of looking over in order to get, you know, a better handle on some of these players who have yet to really show themselves in the majors?
Well, we've always had a very diverse, you know, scouting organization with, you know, more than 130 scouts, you know, across the U.S. and international. So, you know, we obviously apply very much the same metrics internationally. I mean, if you think about how many, you know, players come from Central and South America, sure, and things like that. So we're already, you know, very well versed kind of with those things. I mean, you know, Otani's obviously, you know, I think given all of us sort of a reality check about just the quality of baseball that that's being played over there, or certainly that certain individuals can, you know, enable or, you know, provide. And so I think, you know, we apply very much the same filters. And I think that, you know, obviously the organization feels really, really high on him, and he did a great job of the World Baseball Classic. And so I think, you know, we're very excited about, you know, what that means, hopefully, for Boston, of course, for years to come.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
My father, God rest his soul, he was in his 90s when he passed. And before he passed, I was trying to explain to him, hey, Pop, you need to get Wi-Fi. And he looked at me and he said, what kind of voodoo hoot nanny is that? And I'm like, I'm trying to explain this to him. But, you know, today's world is, listen, it's hard for me to think of a park without Wi-Fi. I'm sure Fenway has made so many upgrades in that area and upgrades and beyond.
Yeah, we were the first, you know, organization to, you know, take advantage of Extreme Networks you know, Wi-Fi 6 environment. I saw the Braves just announced the new Wi-Fi 6E, the latest version of Wi-Fi. And it's a big deal, right? Like it's not just Wi-Fi, it's kind of building that relationship between, you know, both Wi-Fi and cellular service, right? To really kind of deliver a compelling experience. And your other point about, you know, whether it's all these other fan amenities, like whether it's mobile food ordering or how do I find different, you know, kinds of foods that might, you know, I might prefer, or, you know, digital ticketing and all the different, you know, other forms of amenities that we now rely on our mobile apps to enable. Those things are all predicated on having, you know, high speed connectivity. So we've got a great relationship with Verizon with 5G. We've got a great relationship with Extreme Networks. And, you know, we monitor it really closely, you know, and you're never done. You know, that's the other reality is, you know, you implement these things and it's, you know, it's a challenge to kind of refine and tune these things so that you're getting the best possible performance. And you know, for us, it's like, you know, whether you want to take pictures and upload things to social media or you want to, you know, who knows, in future sports betting or things, you know. Now, we look at all the analytics too, you know, and we know how people kind of, you know, use Wi-Fi and things like that. And, you know, I was actually very surprised looking at some numbers recently that just how many people, like, you know, even bet on other sports while they're sitting there watching a baseball game, you know. It's like, it's pretty remarkable, you know, whether that or it's social media and things. And so we know how fans use the technology and we're continuing to provide services to hopefully kind of tap into that.
Brian, I know you're up in Boston, but if you were here with me and Mr. Barr in New York City, you'd be reading in the Post about Knicks owner James Dolan and the team's facial recognition technology and all the hoo and ha that goes with that. You know, it seems there's a little bit of a love-hate relationship between the fans and the teams that are collecting data on them. How do you sell to fans that collecting such data is actually going to help them enjoy games more and improve the experience?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, facial recognition, in my mind, because we're very familiar with the company. We did some testing with Wicket as well. And, you know, we were really impressed. I mean, we were able to... now, these are people who have all opted in, right? So we don't do it with average, you know, person has to opt into this program. But once they have opted in, you know, we can see numbers of having up to like 60 people per minute, you know, kind of pass through a turnstile just based on facial recognition. That's like really remarkable. And I think what's going to happen in time is I think the efficiencies will outweigh people's sort of anxiety in some levels about sort of some of these things that's being maybe collected or shared and things like that. There's a lot of safeguards that go into this as well. And, you know, we kind of pause a little bit. MLB's obviously did a big study and they're doing some piloting this year. The Mets are kind of, you know, testing something a little bit different. And obviously we've sort of seen this through football and the Browns are doing quite a bit for a number of years. You know, so for us, it's not as critical an item for us because a little bit because Fenway's a smaller ballpark and our lines aren't usually cued quite like in the same way you might find at some other ballparks where, you know, it's one giant parking lot surrounded by sort of a number of different entrances. You know, it's not as pivotal, we don't think. But in time, I mean, I know Aramark is testing with it as well. So, you know, people at will time will be able to order alcoholic beverages based on facial recognition, be able to order other things and stuff. And so I think it's sort of inevitable in certain cases. But again, for those people that decide to opt in. So I think it's it'll be sort of, you know, a little a la carte for folks to kind of decide whether these are features that they want to take advantage of.
Mr. Dolan and many other parks would hate me. I can just see who broke this. Oh, Barr's face. Thanks a lot. It's all done, man. I would like to ask one thing about the data that has to change. Because the bases simply are larger now, you know, there's less distance for the runner to get from point A to point B. That has to change the data on runners stealing bases or just simply running out to first base.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hopefully, you know, I think, you know, the intent, obviously, you know, as the league continues to sort of tweak and refine some of these different things is that, you know, as you know, sometimes, you know, if you follow baseball, some people say like, oh, these are advantages to the pitcher or these are, you know, like look at, you know, when people do shifts, right? I mean, obviously kind of cuts down on a number of hits and runs and things and changes people's, you know, approach at the bat when they're at the plate. And I think, you know, what it's going to do is it's hopefully going to reward, you know, speed on the base pass. And, you know, we already measure things that historically were very qualitative, like, you know, he got a good lead. you know, these things are all very quantitative now. You know, we kind of know things like when the person gets a lead more than, you know, whatever, 9 feet, that their success rate is exponentially higher than slightly less than that and things like that. So people know there's a lot of detail that goes into all these different things that you and I growing up would have thought were kind of somewhat qualitative things. You know, so it'll definitely affect kind of, I think, you know, when people choose to steal. You know, hopefully it'll change kind of coaches a little bit behavior when they get certain, you know, batters at bat and, you know, base runners and things. So I'm really excited about seeing kind of and looking at the data on all this and see how it basically kind of plays out with and frankly, with so many rule changes kind of happening at the same time. You know, I think it's all positive. I think it's all generally going in the right direction. It's looking at them in their magnitude, hopefully just results in sort of, you know, better overall experience and hopefully less time so that folks can, you know, can enjoy the rest of their day as well.
File Brian Shield, Red Sox Chief Technology Officer under Superdude, because he was so kind to join us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. Thank you again, Brian. We really do appreciate it.
You know, it's great joining you guys. Thank you very much, and it'll be a great, great season.
Woo-hoo. This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr. You can follow me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
And I'm Damian Sasser. You can follow me on Twitter at DSassHour.
Hey, guess what? You can download our podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Download them wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.